Today is a big day because there's a big outline. There's 8 pages in this. Now, most of it's not something I'm going to teach. I'll tell you what it is. The first couple pages, mine lays out a little bit different than yours. The first couple pages are the lesson. There's some blanks in there. We'll fill those out as we go this morning. After that, there's a spiritual gifts discovery. And that's what we're calling this. You may have done something like this before. If you haven't, I think this is going to be a joy for you to do. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And you fill this out. I don't think we're going to have time to do it during class this morning, though, because there's so many other things that we're going to try to do. But what I'd like you to do, and I'd like you to fill this out, and as you do this spiritual gifts discovery, here's what I want you to think. I want you to think, what is the answer that I would really think, not what I would like somebody to think of me? All right? Let me give you an example. I'm very sensitive to the emotional state of others. Of course, we all want to say, yeah, I'm sensitive to the emotional state of others. But I'm really not. So I'm gonna put a 1 there. All right? Let's see. There's one in here. A disorganized outline really bothers me, or something. I forget the exact one. So if you think, okay, so probably I should write yes. A disorganized outline really bothers me. But if it doesn't, then just don't say that it does, right? Now, some people, it's going to drive you nuts. My outline this morning, it's probably going to drive you nuts because it's not as organized as it could have been. But if it doesn't, don't mark that it does. So what we're trying to do is I'm trying to help you, as you go through these, answering some questions about yourself, to find out, to discover what God's spiritual gift is for you. Now, there's all kinds of different shades and colors and variations of the spiritual gifts that God gives us, but God has given you some talents and some amazing ways to serve Him. And here's 6 of the big ones. So the ministry of helps, teaching, encouragement, administration, mercy, and giving. We'll talk about those this morning. And there's a page here that says Spiritual Gifts Discovery Answer Key, and you put all the information on there. If you need help with that, I'll help you to do that. And then you can see which one you score the highest in. Maybe there's a couple that you're going to score high in. And then after that, the last 2 pages, is it 2 pages or 1 page on yours? I think it came out to a front and back, is a ministry survey. So I want you to read through this ministry survey. And so what we're doing, we're going to ask you what you have experience in, some areas that you'd be willing to serve in, and some areas that you're interested in serving in. All right, so if you have experience in, here's some examples, landscaping, maintenance, custodial, carpentry. If you have experience in those, go ahead and fill out that little circle there. What we're trying to do is find out what kind of giftedness, what is your gift set, what is your training in, and that'll be a way that you can help to serve in our church. And then there's going to be some questions I'd be willing to serve in the following areas. And there's some areas that we need help in, and we may not need help in them right now, but we will need help in them in the future. We just want to see who's willing to serve in some of these areas. And then there's some ministries listed. And it says, I'm interested in serving in the following ministries. There's a lot of ministries there. Most of these in this list are ministries that we have here at the church, a ministry that you can get involved in. And then the one after that is, I'm interested in these possible future ministries. Now, these are ministries that we don't have yet, but that eventually we would like to have. And if it's something that you would be interested in serving in, just go and circle it. I am asking that you do this. On this one that says, I'm interested in serving in the following ministries, right under that it says, please select at least 3. You can select as many as you want to, but I'd say, please select at least 3. And that'll help us to be able to see what you're interested in and then what's available and try to pair everybody up with a ministry that you'd like, that we have a need for. And I think this is going to be a great time of signing up to serve in ministry. Ministry involvement is what we're after, all right? So take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11. Now we're going to do a lot of Bible turning this morning because a lot of the verses that we're using are in close proximity to each other. So some of them are written on your notes. Some of them are not written on your notes. But if you can turn to these, most of them you can get to pretty quickly. They're pretty close to each other there in the New Testament. Let's pray, and we'll jump into our lesson, serving in ministry. Father, I pray that you would bless our lesson this morning. Lord, as you've given us this wonderful opportunity to serve you, and not just an opportunity to serve you, but you've given us a church to serve you in. And you've made us a part of this church, and we are members of this body. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and you would help us to understand the need for every one of us to be serving in ministry. And Lord, I pray that you would burden our hearts for the ministries that you would have us to be involved in, and you would guide us, help us to make those decisions. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity. You could have done it any way you wanted to, but you allowed us to get involved, and I pray that you would give us an open heart as we study your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 is where we're going to start this morning as we teach on serving in ministry. And here's how the Bible starts, Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we're going to go through this fairly quickly this morning. So we'll have the answers up on the screens for you. You can look at those. We'll fill out these blanks as we go and hopefully cover a lot of territory. Here's where we're going to start. God gave the leaders of the churches the responsibility of helping Christians to grow in some areas. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. The ones that we're going to key in on here really are going to be pastors and teachers. There are evangelists, and there's some evangelists that God has gifted them for that. They travel across the country and share the gospel. And there's going to be one preaching. I don't have the date in front of me. It's this month. I think it's in a couple weeks. Actually, Gospel Light Baptist Church is hosting an evangelist, and I'm going to invite everybody to go to that. His name's Justin Cooper. We heard him at youth conference this last year. Great preacher. And he's an evangelist. So, give you an idea what an evangelist is. But Caleb Garraway is an evangelist. So he'll be preaching at our church in July after he preaches at the youth conference. So, we've got that. We've got pastors and teachers. And God gave the leaders of the churches a big responsibility. And that is the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, we'll say it this way. He gave them this responsibility to help Christians become mature saints. To become mature saints, the perfecting of the saints, and then to become faithful in ministry. One of the jobs, one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to help the people of the church, the members of the church, become faithful in ministry. And as we prepare you for the work of the ministry, every one of us ought to be involved in some type of ministry. That's what God made us for. We're supposed to be serving Him. We're supposed to be serving others. And then lastly, to become a strong body of believers. The leaders of the church are supposed to, specifically pastors and teachers, supposed to help the people of the church, the members of the church, become a strong body of believers, the edifying of the body of Christ. So in order to do that, God has gifted us in certain ways. Sometimes he calls somebody to be a preacher. Sometimes he calls somebody to be a teacher. Sometimes he'll call you to serve in different areas, and that is what we are talking about this morning. Not only does God call people and say, hey, I want you to do this, but God enables people. You have different talents than somebody else has. You have different abilities than somebody else has. Aren't you glad we are not clones of each other? Man, I'm glad of that. We'd have a bunch of Santiago's let's just stop right there. Aren't you glad that God has made us different. We're not going to be identical. Now, we're supposed to be in unity, but being in unity does not mean that we have to be identical to each other. God made us different. He's given us different gifts. He's given us different abilities. He's given us different talents, and that's what the lesson is about this morning. God expects us to be good stewards or a good steward of the gifts He has given us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's so much we could teach about this. Our gifts come by the grace of God. But here's the lesson I want you to get this morning. God expects us to use our gifts to minister to others. Let's look at that verse again. As every man hath received the gift. Understand this, God, if you are saved, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. The Bible says He divides them severally to whom He will. So God is He gives you this opportunity, He gives you this enablement, He gives you a gift a spiritual gift to serve in ministry, to serve him and to serve others. Okay, so every man hath received the gift. So what are we supposed to do? Even so, minister the same one to another. God has given me a spiritual gift. God has given you a spiritual gift. What am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to use that to become rich and famous? Am I supposed to use that to win American Idol if God's given me a gift of singing? Or am I supposed to use that to become famous in my city or to make... Now, there are some gifts that God wants you to use to provide for your family. He wants you to use them in everyday life. But there are some gifts that God says, hey, listen, I want you to use that to minister to others. Not for yourself, but for others. All right, so even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that's the key right there. I want to challenge you this morning to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given you. Now, God gives different gifts. He gives different leadership styles and different methods to different people. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. We're not all going to do the same thing the same way. And God's given us the flexibility to be me, for you to be you as you serve him. This is an exciting thing. Now, God's got a plan, he's got a will, and he's given us some gifts and styles and methods to be able to serve him. Now, we should never use a sinful leadership style and say, well, it's just me. We should never use a sinful method and say, well, it's just a method. But God does give us different leadership styles, different methods, and different gifts, and he gives them to different people. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. This is going to be our main text for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to work through the whole chapter, and we're going to do it fairly quickly. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's different gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gave them to every different person. Verse 5, and there are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. So maybe somebody has a different leadership style than somebody else, but if God gave them that, then God's the one that gave them that. They need to use it that way. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So different gifts, different leadership styles, different methods. He gives them to different people. Why? So that we can serve him. My leadership style and your leadership style are probably going to be different. We could sit down and we could criticize each other's leadership styles. We could nitpick at each other's styles all day long. That's not going to accomplish anything because God gave them to us. My leadership style and Moses' leadership style were probably pretty different. The Bible says he was a man, a meek man, more meek than any other man in the earth. And I get upset sometimes. So I think he's got a better leadership style than me, but God gave him a different one. My leadership style, well, let me say this, my preaching style and Brother Dye's preaching style. We're going to have different preaching styles. My preaching style and different other pastors' preaching styles, they're going to be different. God's just given us these gifts and we need to use them the way God has given us. Let me give you an example. If you read through the New Testament, you come across Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four Gospels all contain the same account of who? Jesus the Messiah, right? All the same story, all the same account, but they're all written from different perspectives by men with different backgrounds and different personalities. And God used all of them. And as proof of that, he used them to write the Scripture, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the Word of God that has existed since before time. God used these men to write those Scriptures. What a great reminder that he can use different people with different gifts to accomplish his will. Jesus called both Peter and Paul to be apostles, all right? But those two men were so very different. How many of you think you'd relate more, you would be more like Peter, right? How many of you say, yeah, I'd be more like Peter, all right? How many say I'd be more like Paul, all right? Okay, this is time change Sunday, so I'm going to have to do a trick or something. Let me stand on my hands and stack bowling balls. No, let's try it again. Well, let's talk about Peter for a minute. Peter, the one who always stuck his foot in his mouth. That's me. You ever say something that you wish you'd have taken, you wish you could take back and maybe say something differently? All right? Peter, a fisherman. I like fishing, right? Okay. Well, he's a different kind of fisherman. He caught lots of fish in a net. Peter, an ignorant man. All right? Now, okay. Miss Pam, thank you for raising your hand for that. I appreciate it. Peter was married. Okay, that's me. They were different. What about Paul? So Peter was a fisherman, but Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was learned, right? He was well-educated. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. This guy was so educated. But Peter, whenever Peter and John were there in the cast, they were in the prison, they were let go out of the prison. One of the comments about them, these men are unlearned and ignorant men. That's Peter. Peter married, Paul singled. They were, not singled, single, right? They were different. I don't think he was singled. I think he just stayed single. They were different. They didn't always agree. But what happened? God used both of them. God used Peter and God used Paul. How? With different gifts. And that's what I want to teach about this morning. Look at chapter 12, verse 7, and we'll see that the Holy Spirit of God manifests himself differently in each Christian. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me, if you're saved, lives in you. And that same Holy Spirit lives in every single other person who's in our church who is saved. But he's going to show himself differently in the lives of different people. Look at chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. God said, listen, when you get saved, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. And the reason I'm putting him in, lots of reasons, but in this verse, I want you to be profitable to the ministry. The Holy Spirit is going to manifest himself through you to profit, to make a difference, to make an impact, to profit. Every Christian has the Spirit of God living in him. Now, you've heard of the fruits of the Spirit, right? You've heard about love, joy, peace, and all the fruits of the Spirit. Now, listen to this. Each individual is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You are God's temple. If you're saved, God lives in you. And every Christian can be an asset to the church because the Spirit of God lives in them and works through them. And whenever God lives in you, he said, there's some things that I want to make happen in your life. Have you heard of that verse? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean we're supposed to work it out, like get ourselves saved. It means God saves us. He puts his Spirit in us. And he says, you are saved now. Let it out. Man, let the Spirit of God manifest himself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we've got this list of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, one of my biggest challenges whenever I'm talking and studying about the fruits of the Spirit is actually thinking about fruit. Don't think about fruit. Now, we've seen flannel graphs, we've seen bulletin boards. We're not talking about fruit. We're talking about results. We're talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. When God lives in you, these fruits ought to come out, these results. The fruits of the Spirit are the real world results of a Christian who is yielded to the Spirit of God. If you're yielded to the Spirit of God, these things are going to come out in your life. What are they? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. There's these nine results that ought to happen with a person or from a person who has the Spirit of God living in them. Now, that ought to be the same for all of us. Every one of us ought to manifest the Spirit of God by showing love and by showing joy and going through all of that. But there's more. The gifts of the Spirit are unique abilities the Spirit of God has given you to serve God through your local church. So there's these fruits of the Spirit. Every one of us ought to demonstrate, manifest these fruits of the Spirit. But God's got something more for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Could you turn there? Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Then we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians. There's a couple lists of fruits of the Spirit, not fruits, gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the easier one to read. We also have the other one that we'll look at. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. And here, God gives unique abilities to you, to me, to be able to serve him. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Stop there just for a moment. You have a body, right? If you came to church today without your body, we've got a problem. I'm glad you brought it with you. Some of you, we may feel it's daylight savings time. I don't feel like I have it with me. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I'm in church, and my body's still in bed. My mind's still in bed. You have a body, and your body has many members. You have hands. You have feet. You have eyes. A couple ears, a nose, right? We've got members of our body. And that's what it says. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We are part of the same body, and that body is the body of Christ. I'll show you a verse here in a minute that shows us that the body of Christ is the church. As part of the church, we are part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, what's that make us? All part of the same body. Verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, you got to understand this. All of our gifts are going to be different. God has gifted each of us in different ways so that we can have a complete body. We can have everything that is needed here at our church. All right, so verse 6, having then different gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or serve this gift of ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You've got this list of these things that God said, I've given you some gifts. I've given you some abilities. These are supernatural abilities, maybe something that you wouldn't have otherwise, but God says, the gift of the Spirit, something that I've given you. Let's just summarize those. There's the gift of prophecy. We could call that a call from God and an enabling by God to preach His Word. There's the gift of ministry, a desire and ability to serve and help God's people. There's this gift of teaching, a desire and ability to teach God's truth by helping people understand how God's Word applies to them. Some of you are just natural teachers. You can just, you like it, you enjoy it, and you can teach. Some of you just, you love serving other people. If you had an opportunity to serve somebody else, you'd jump at that opportunity. Some of you have been called to preach. There's a gift of encouragement or exhortation, a desire and ability to encourage others in the Christian life. Now, some of us don't have this gift, right? Some of us are not very good at encouraging other people. Somebody else is having a bad day. Some of you could go up to them and encourage them, and they walk away from you feeling like they're walking on clouds, and that just helped me so much. Other people, you're having a bad day, and one of us will come up to you and say, I'll just rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine, right? Get over it. Come on, life's full of trouble. Well, some of us have a gift of encouragement. Some of you do. Some more than others. A desire and an ability to encourage others. I've got a desire. I don't have as much of an ability. All right? Giving. A desire and an ability to give to God's work and to God's people. My brother is a giver. My brother Steve, he's a missionary in Chile. We watched a video of him this last week. He's remodeling a storefront. It's like an old grocery store or something like that, a hardware store, something like that. And he's in there by himself, just whistling, having a great time serving the Lord, and hammering. And he did it in fast motion, so he's like tink tink, and it was really, you got to watch it, right? But my brother, ever since he was little, he couldn't save money; he'd give it away. Somebody'd give him something, and he'd give it to somebody else, and just through his life. And we realized that's one of his gifts. He is a giving person. That describes some of you: administration or ruling. A desire and ability to lead and administrate part of God's work. Now, God knows that not everybody can be a leader. I read this story of a young person applying to go to a college. And as they were applying to go to the college, one of the questions on the college application says, are you a natural leader or are you a natural follower? This person felt bad about it, but they wanted to answer honestly. So they said, well, I'm a follower. Sent the application in. And thought, well, you know, because of that, I know this college is looking for leaders. And sent the application in thinking, I don't know if they're ever going to accept me. And a couple of weeks later, they got a letter back in the mail. It was from that college. And that college said, you are accepted. And then underneath it, it said, we are so excited to have you in our college. We have thousands of leaders, but only one follower. You are going to fit in here so very well. What would happen if we were all that ruling, that gift of administration? What would happen if we were all the giving? If we were all the givers, nobody would be the one tracking, you know, do we have anything left to give? These gifts God has given us, every Christian has different spiritual gifts than other Christians. Every Christian should discover his spiritual gifts and use them to serve God. Now, I want you to think about this. Since God gifted us to serve Him in a particular area of ministry, follow with me here, I don't want you to miss this, trying to serve God in areas where He didn't give us the needed gifts is going to lead to frustration. Don't raise your hand here, but have you ever tried to serve in an area that just wasn't you? I've been there. I went to Bible college and I tried to pay my way through Bible college by selling things. I've told these stories before. I tried to sell insurance. I did awful. I tried to sell death and dismemberment credit card insurance, right? That's a tough one to sell, especially when you don't even have a credit card and you don't even understand. I tried selling upgrading subscriptions on the Chicago Tribune. I tried selling lawn care. The only thing I could sell that I finally figured out was grub control care. Because I figured out that if you just explain in detail what a grub looks like, the little old ladies aren't going to want to have a grub in their yard, so they're going to buy it. But I'm a terrible salesman. I couldn't sign anybody up to get a free estimate for windows and siding from Sears. I tried. I didn't sign one person up for that. And I realized, this is not my calling. And God didn't call me to do that, and I'm so glad He didn't call me to do that. But listen, if you try to serve God in an area where He didn't give you a talent or didn't give you an ability, didn't give you that gift, here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up getting frustrated. I had an opportunity to work with the children's day camp. It was an elementary day camp one summer. As a teacher, during the summer, we got laid off. So this is a Christian school. The idea was, let's keep our staff on board during the summer, and we'll have a summer day camp for them. So I got involved in that, and I worked all day at the summer day camp, and I realized, that's not for me. Working with kindergartners and taking them on field trips, I just realized, that's not my calling. God did. I know You did. I was so frustrated. One parent, and I feel bad for this. This was awful. I'm going to be judged for this one day. One parent sent their child to day camp. Oh, he was just a brat. He would just whine and complain and cry. He'd never obey, and you'd have to actually pick him up, put him on the bus, and he'd be kicking and screaming. And he didn't want anything to do with anything. And he's probably about 5 years old, just a spoiled brat. Well, we went on a field trip one day, and his parents sent a camera with him to take pictures of the field trip. I confess that most of the pictures they got was of him throwing temper tantrums and fussing and complaining. I know I'm going to be judged for that one day. And I realized after that, God didn't call me to work in elementary day camp, and I was just frustrated by it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 12:8. And we'll see that God gives people the gifts that He wants them to have. This is great. God knows what is best for you. God's the one that made you. And not only did God make you, but God has given you the gifts that He wants you to have. He knows what you need. He knows what's best for you. You know what else God knows? God knows His plan for your life. I don't know God's plan for my life. I can see what I've done already, but I don't know the future. I don't know what God has planned for me. You don't know what God has planned for your future. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God is the one that gave you those gifts because He knows you, He knows your potential, He knows your strengths and weaknesses, and He knows your future. And He is the one that gives you the talents and gifts that you need to serve Him. Look at chapter 12, verse 8 of 1 Corinthians. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now look at this verse. After describing all of these gifts that God has given, look at verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. God gives people the gifts that He wants them to have. You have the gifts that God wants you to have. God has gifted you in a unique and special way, and it is God that is the one that gave you those talents. He gave you those gifts. Some people have a few gifts, and some people have many gifts. The Bible says, dividing unto every man severally as he will. I mentioned Brother Garraway. I love when Brother Garraway comes and preaches for us, but I hate when Brother Garraway comes and preaches for us. And you know why? Because Brother Garraway, he can sing, and he can preach. And he can write books, and he can write poetry, and he can design tracks and websites and produce videos. Then he puts his table up in the back, and it's just incredible. And he does this all while he's traveling from church to church in hotel rooms. And I'm thinking, God, I love having Brother Garraway here, and he's a great preacher, and I appreciate that, but I feel like he's got so many more gifts than I do. God's given some people a lot of gifts. Brother Garraway just finished a new music CD. He's writing a second fiction book in the Truth Seeker series. He's written books about the Bible, all these things. Then I realize, I look at Luke chapter 12, verse 48, and the Bible says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." If God has given you many gifts, here's what he expects. He expects you to use those many gifts to serve him in many ways. If God's given you one gift, he expects you to use your one gift to serve him with just as much passion and energy as you possibly can. Now, as I look around, I see some very gifted people. There are people in New Heights Baptist Church that God is talented and God has given some amazing gifts. But if you say, "But I only have this one little gift, and I've got this one little talent, and how could God possibly use that talent for him?" Do you remember the story of the servant that the master gave the talent to? And he took that talent, and he didn't have five talents, he didn't have three talents, so he thought, "I don't have as many talents as them, so I'm just going to bury my talent." And the master came, and he asked him, "What'd you do?" And he said, "I was afraid." This is Matthew 25, 25 says this, "And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." And the Bible says, "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant." If God has given you many talents, use those talents to serve God. Listen, don't use it for yourself. Don't use it, I've already said this, but don't use that talent to become rich and famous. If God allows you to use that talent in a great way to serve him, and part of that is growing a big company, or part of that is becoming wealthy, that's fine. As God uses you, you give it to God. He'll get you where you need to be with it. But use it for him. But you say, "I don't have any talents. I don't have any gifts." Well, first of all, you're wrong, because I know you do, because the Bible says God gives them to every man. But if you feel like you don't, just stick around here for a while. Serve as a bad example, and the rest of us can learn something not to do from you. All right, that's supposed to be a joke. Let's move on. Look at chapter 12, verse number 12. The church is the body of Christ. We are members of this body. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, I'm going to read this to you quickly. The Bible says, "And he is the head of the body, the church," talking about Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh," look at this, "for his body's sake, which is the church." The church is made up of members with many different types of gifts. Look at verse number 14, 1 Corinthians 12, 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" What a great word picture. If your foot wakes up one morning and says, "I don't want to be part of this body anymore," does that mean it's not part of the body anymore? What was that question that I asked for some inspiring words during teen meeting one day? Paul Hinkle was sitting there. He said, "I got one. I got a question for you, a riddle for you." That's what it was. I was asking for riddles. He said, "If I ripped your foot off and hit you with it, would I have kicked you or would I have slapped you?" And I thought, what in the world are you even talking about? Your foot can't just not be part of the body. And verse number 16, "And if the ears say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" I love this word picture in verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If all you had, if all you were," okay, Mike Wazowski, right? "If all you were was this giant eye, and you have no ears, you're not going to work very well. You need your ears as well. If the whole were hearing, you're just a giant ear, where were the smelling?" I would rather be the giant ear, I guess, than the giant nose, but we need all of them. We need the feet, we need the eyes, we need the nose, we need the ears. Now, the Bible doesn't say, okay, now look around and just say, okay, now that's the eye, that person there. Brother Santiago's probably the feet. Abigail's probably the nose. No, that's not the idea here. The idea here is we are all an important part of the body of Christ. And we all have a different function. We've all got different gifts. And God wants us to use those gifts to serve him. Verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Let me ask you this question based on that verse. Who is it that put you in the body? That's God. God hath put you. Let's look at that verse again. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them. If you are here, God brought you here. God set you here. And who is it supposed to please? Him. God set you, God set us in the body so that we might please him. Verse number 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? We need each of us. We need each one of us to have our different gifts and use them the way God wants us to use them. But now, verse 20, are they many members, yet but one body? That describes the church so well. I love that verse describing the church. And now are they many members, but one body? We are not supposed to be carbon copies of each other. We're not supposed to be clones. We're not supposed to look like each other. We're not supposed to here's what we try to do. We try to fit into this little perfect mold. And we think, that person's got this talent, and that person, they can sing, they can write, they can print, they do all these things. I want to be just like them. Well, God didn't make me just like them. God didn't make you just like them. So take the gift that God has given you. It's probably more than one gift. When you look at this list of things in the back that you can do and ways that you can serve, you're going to realize, I can serve in this church in so many ways, probably more ways than you ever thought. God placed us into his church with the abilities that he wanted us to have so that we would please him. We've got to be done. So let me give you the rest of these notes and you can look up these verses. Every member needs the other members. I'll read one verse here. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. None of us can look at somebody else and say, we don't need you. We don't need you. I've got it taken care of. I'm the eye. I can see everything. Well, no, we don't. We can't do everything on our own. We need the other members. And the Bible, you look through this, the Bible will even say, even the ones that are feeble and weak, the ones that we would look at and say, oh, we really don't need that person. We need every single person. And we need every single person to be involved in some way in ministering to others. The body of Christ is like the human body because all the members are needed. And not only is each Christian a part of the body, but listen to this. This is awesome. They are a unique part of the body that no one else can be. We need you. Because there's nobody else like you. You are special. God made you just the way you are. And God wants you to serve him just the way he made you. We need you. You're unique. You're a part of the body that nobody else can be. You can fill a need that nobody else can fill just like you. And I'm not just talking to the adults. I'm talking to the teens. I'm talking to the kids. Every person here, there is something you can do. There is a need that you can fill. And the Bible says in verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's awesome. A couple more. God wants us to want the gifts that are the most useful for serving. This is kind of a hard passage to explain. I'm going to read it to you real quickly. Verse number 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer to that's no. Are all prophets? The answer to that's no. Are all teachers? The answer to that's no. Are all workers of miracles? The answer to that is obviously no. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Now, this was written at a time where a lot of these gifts were still very much in play. But look at verse number 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The best gifts, I looked that up, and it's the Blue Letter Bible, the Strong's Concordance, where it compares all of the different words. This word, the word best here, this best, the most useful, the one that is going to make the biggest impact. Which gift should I have? Well, the one that God gave me, of course. But let me do what I can to, and the Bible says covet. I want to want the gift that's going to make the biggest impact. I don't want to want what somebody else his gift is. That's not the way God wants to use me. Don't try to want what somebody else has, their gift. You need to, okay, I think Dave Ramsey says this, other financial people say this, you can either have what you want or want what you have. And I think the same is true with gifts and talents. If you just realize this is the way God made me, I'm going to want the way he made me. I'm going to want what I already have, because that is going to be the way I can serve God to the best of my potential. And the last is this. All those gifts, We've got some wonderful gifts. We've got the gift of teaching and mercy and encouragement and giving and administration and all these things. But then he says there's a more excellent way. 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Here's the last note. Use the spiritual gifts that God gave you with charity. The entire chapter 13 is about how to use God's gift that he has given you. How do I live my life? Well, I need to do it with charity. Though I speak, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. If I could speak with the tongue of an angel, that'd be a pretty amazing gift, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you think? Wow, he's got an angelic voice beyond just that I sound good. But if I do that and I don't have charity, the Bible says I'm empty. I'm like one of those wind chimes that your neighbor has and blows all night long while you're trying to sleep, all right? A sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I should remove mountains and have not charity, what's the next three words? I am nothing. Let's use these gifts God has given us, and let's use them to serve God out of a heart of love and use them to serve others out of a heart of love. Now, the rest of the paper that you have is that spiritual gifts discovery. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to teach about deacons, the role of deacons, and how deacons are going to serve New Heights Baptist Church. The next Sunday, I'm going to be teaching on requirements for teachers, deacons, choir members, requirements to serve God in ministry, right? So over the next 3 weeks, I don't want you to turn this in right now. I want you to hold on to it, and I want you to pray about it. And as you hear, we teach on deacons, and as you hear requirements for serving in ministry, Bible requirements, requirements from our church, I want you to be praying and think, God, how can I be involved? Maybe in a better word would be expectations. How can I serve you here? And then what I want you to do, I mean, you can take the spiritual gifts test as soon as you want to, just not during the service today, all right? Not during the preaching, all right? Take that test and kind of figure out, you might say, yeah, that's right. I do like helping people. I do like teaching. But that the next page where it starts talking, the ministry survey, you can start filling that in, but don't turn it in for, let's take 3 weeks. I want you to take it. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. And then I want you to turn it in, and then I want you to get involved in ministry. There are so many areas of ministry that you can get involved in, and I want you to get involved in something. Father, thank you for letting us take the time together this morning. Thank you for our church. Thank you that we are all members of this body, your body, the church. And I pray that you'd help us to serve you in a way that pleases you. Please bless our service to follow in a few minutes. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to be alert. I know we got an hour less sleep last night, and I pray that you'd help us to learn something. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.